Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts, in Acts in chapter number 2. The book of Acts in chapter number 2. We're now currently going through our special Thanksgiving service. And with it, we wanted to hit something special for everyone tonight and be a very practical help. With that, turn with me, if you don't mind, to the New Testament book of Acts. The book of Acts and chapter number 2. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. And if you don't mind, look with me in a familiar passage, especially those who are within this church. Notice with me the book of Acts, chapter 2. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 42. The book of Acts, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 42, the Word of God says this: "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them for all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily and with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat with their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Acts in chapter 2? Acts in chapter 2, and notice with me at the end of verse number 46. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, "with gladness and singleness of heart." With gladness and singleness of heart. And with this, we'd like to preach a message that the first century church were a thankful people. The first century church were a thankful people. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today. And we thank you for what you've been doing, the answers to prayer. We thank you for for what people were giving thanks for a little bit earlier today, of things that have happened within the last 24 hours, things that have been going on, answers to prayer, things that you've been watching and delivering, things that you've been preparing. And we're thankful for those things. Help us to understand this principle of being a thankful people, knowing that this is your will and your desire for us. And not only is it your will, but Lord, you never tell us something to do that isn't good for us. Lord, help us to have a good understanding of these things. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't mind, I want to kind of start off with this passage and build a basis. Then we're going to go to practicality. But we want to see that the first century church were a thankful people. Now, understand that there's a lot of emphasis today of becoming a 21st century church. And with the 21st century church, you have a lot of gadgets and a lot of complications and a lot of things. We want to go back and have a revolution back to the Bible and go back to the simplicity that was found in the Bible. And one of the things about the first century church is that they were a thankful people. In this passage here, we could see a couple different things and areas where they were thankful. For example, they were thankful in worship and in fellowship. They were thankful in worship and in fellowship. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 42, "And they," this is the first century church, "continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now remember, verse 42 is a very simplistic saying, speaking about the first century church and their services. that they continued steadfastly, they continued faithfully in what Jesus had taught the disciples and the disciples had taught the first century church, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Remember that the word "and" in there is not there by accident. It's called a polysyllabism, and it's meant to slow us down and pay attention to everything on the list. That they were continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they continued in the fellowship, and they continued in breaking of breads, and in prayer. These were just part of the things that the first century church did. And part of it was because they were thankful. What were they thankful for? Verse 41, "And they that gladly received his word." Notice that word "gladly." Those that accepted Christ gladly. By the way, that's the only one way to accept Christ. No one accepts Christ by saying, "Oh man, I guess I have to. Jesus, forgive me." Why are we glad? Because we were sinners. And we deserved hell. We deserved separation from God. We deserved his wrath. We were condemned already. But Jesus loved us so much, he died on the cross to give us forgiveness of sins. All of my sins. Not in part, but the whole. All of them. God is no longer angry with me because of my sins. So because I'm thankful for his word, I'm thankful for what he did for me, as part of an expression of thankfulness, the first century church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Maybe we just say it simply, they obeyed what the Bible said. They didn't come up with their own theories. They didn't come up with a better idea, a different solution. Because they were thankful for what God did, and they understood that God had the best thing in mind for them, well, they continued with what God gave them to do, because God knows what's best. That will come to play a little bit later, because God does know us. Do you know that God created you? And God knows everything about you. He knows how your body works. He knows how your hormones work. He knows how your brain works. Because he knows us, he gives specific instructions to us for our benefit that will actually show up. That will be a big deal later on. So they continued with what God had given them to do because they were thankful. Because they were thankful, they continued in fellowship. I'm thankful to be a part of a local New Testament church. I'm thankful for the fellowship that we had. And because I'm thankful for what God has done and God has placed us here, I want to be faithful to what God has been doing and be here when God opens the doors and allows us to assemble together. Because they were a thankful people, they continued in breaking of breads. Specifically, it's going to deal with the idea of the Lord's Supper. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? To remind us what Christ did for us. That's to help us to be thankful, to continue to be thankful. If I stay at the foot of the cross and I'm reminded how much I deserve death and what he did for me, it changes my attitude. It changes how I deal with things. The breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, is a very big deal. And in prayers. That in our prayers, we cast our dependence on God and saying we need him. And the more that we realize we need him and the more he does things for us, we should be thankful. That they were a thankful people in worship and fellowship. Notice as it goes on, we see something else here. We could see that they were thankful in their daily life. They were thankful in their daily life. Notice with me verse 46. And they, still talking about the first century church, continued daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were glad, not just in church, but from house to house in their daily life. That when you went to go visit a Christian in the first century church, they were glad people. They were thankful people because they realized how much God had did for them. This is what God tells us over and over. There are so many verses that say, be thankful. We are to be thankful in all of these things. The Bible speaks about specifically in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ever want to know what God's will is for you? To be thankful. And when you're not thankful, you're outside of God's will. You see, we keep it very simple. We're supposed to be a thankful people. That should be a part of our daily lives. But if we were to be honest, we spend a lot of time not thankful. How do you know? We have to put aside a single day of the year to remind us to be thankful. Because we're not usually thankful. That's how bad things are, is that we usually complain. You say, are you sure? Yeah. You give some silence in a room and people don't know what to say, they're going to complain. They're going to bring something up. Man, it's cold outside. I just don't think I could survive this winter. Starting by complaining. Do you see what she's wearing? Oh, I got to do this again. Oh, my boss wants. We start with complaining, not with thankfulness. But part of the first century church is that they were thankful in their daily lives and everything they did, from the temple, gathering together, house to house, daily they were thankful. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. Now, these aren't two separate statements. Why was it that people were coming and getting saved? Because there were thankful people. They said, I want what they have. Why were they getting favor with people? Because we like to hang around happy people, blessed people, thankful people. You do too. You have people in your lives that says, I like to be around them. They make me a better person. You should be that type of person. That should be the qualification of a description of a Christian. Because we're thankful, we make our jobs better. It's a better atmosphere because we're there and we're thankful. Now notice, it's not because we're there preaching the Bible, standing on our desk, telling everyone they're going to hell. But you could change the atmosphere of your home by being a thankful person. Change the atmosphere of your job by being a thankful person. May I dare say you could change the atmosphere of a church by being a thankful people. It's not our default, but these people were thankful people and it changed everything. As we continue to look in this passage, one more thing, if you don't mind, they were thankful in generosity and sharing. They were thankful in generosity and sharing. Notice with me verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, verse 44 and verse 45 is not talking about socialism or communism. It's not talking about that at all. But it's talking about a practicality that because we're thankful that this is what God has done for us, and we see someone have a legitimate need, well, let's take care of them. God is taking care of me. I want to help take care of them. More specifically, this carries the idea that they were willing to give this up for the purpose of the gospel. I see a need to get the gospel out. We see an opportunity. I'm willing to give of my possessions, my goods, my finances to help other people hear this good news. Why? Because they were a thankful people. Being a thankful person was a very important part of the first century church. Which now brings us to one of the main things I want to hit. We were able to explain the Bible and see from the Bible this principle that these people were a thankful people. Most of you know that I'm a police chaplain, and because I'm a police chaplain, I deal with wellness. And so I have to go and get the privilege of taking a lot of classes. And with these classes, I'm listening to people who are not saved talk about very real things, and I'm sitting in these classes saying, this is Bible. They're giving Bible principles. They don't even know they're giving Bible principles. And I'm listening to it very much secular, but they're using things to hear secular people talk about the benefits of being thankful. And I think, why are they teaching this? Why do Christians have to take this class when we should be teaching the class? Because God has asked us to be thankful. Now, remember what I said before, that God created us. And God knows how we work. And sometimes we don't think about that. We hear things like, be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. And we think in our mind, all right, God wants me to be thankful. All right, I'm going to be thankful today. See? But God doesn't give us things just arbitrary. Do you know there are scientific medical benefits that are tangible and measurable for being thankful? So what I did is I put together a handout, and it's available. I want us to go through the handout, and through this isn't just Bible. It's science and the Bible, that God gives biblical principles because he knows it helps us physically and mentally, because God created us. This shouldn't be something that just secular people have a monopoly on. This should be something we're leading the way on. So if you don't mind, I gave you a handout. You're now allowed to look at it. I would like to kind of explain this handout to you and explain how science and the Bible match, and that God knew what he was doing when he was telling us that we need to be thankful for all things. Notice, if you don't mind, as we look this up, notice the first thing. It's the rewiring the mind towards Christ-like positivity. Rewiring the mind towards Christ-like positivity. Now, do you know that one of the things God wants to do is change the way you think? God talks about it so much. It talks about in Romans 12:2, that be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know that God wants you to think differently? I meet people all the time who said, I can't help the way that I think. Yes, you can. And God knows how to do that. First of all, we have a big fancy word that's called neuroplasticity and the renewing of your mind. That being grateful actually harnesses something called neuroplasticity. Now, inside of your brain, you have what is called neural pathways. You can look up at me now. Good. Oh, that was pretty good. You did it all at once. Inside of your brain, you develop neural pathways. When you develop habits, you are actually wiring those neural pathways in a certain direction. So when this stimuli hits, this is your automatic reaction without you thinking about it. Now, it comes in handy because when you're driving, oftentimes you're not thinking. And when an outside stimuli happens, your body reacts without you thinking. Oh no, there is a car coming. I wonder if I should push the brake. That'd be way too late. Your body already does that. How? By you already setting up these habits, these neural pathways. Well, not all habits are good. Some of you have bad habits. Let's do a simple bad habit that we could all smile at. There are some people that have a habit of having a soda, preferably a Dr. Pepper, with a pizza. And that you just can't have a pizza without having a soda. It just wired in your brain, pizza and soda go together, right? We can agree with that. Some of you have that. It just wired together. Those belong together. When you have pizza, I have a craving for a soda. Well, if you're trying to quit sodas, then pizza's hard. So you guys are smiling. But you know that there's other habits that have built up in your brain, whether you realize it or not, that you have associations, things that start triggering. And they build up, if you can imagine a trench. Now, it's not a trench, but if you could imagine a trench. Now, that habit becomes so ingrained that without you thinking about it, it happens. You automatically think this way. You automatically respond this way. You automatically crave this way. And this is why people say, I've been trying to quit smoking, trying to quit drinking, trying to quit this habit, trying to get rid of this bad thing. And I can't. And so what happens is they know what is happening in your brain, those neural pathways are set and go from one to another, that when this happens, it automatically triggers this other one. Does that make sense? And so you're like, well, how do I overcome that? Well, that's where we have something fancy called neuroplasticity. All right, so that's where that word comes from. So imagine, if you don't mind, I had the idea of a trench. If I had a trench that was parallel with a beach and the waves came, what would they do to that trench over time? It would erode it away. It would fill it in, make it smooth. What happens is that when you start being thankful for everything, it actually starts to rewire your brain. And it will cover habits, even though it may not be the direct thing for it. It starts to cover some of the bad habits because you're rewiring how you think completely. So if you say, well, I have a hard time quitting drinking sodas with this, then start being thankful. Be thankful I don't have a soda. No, being thankful, period, starts rewiring your entire brain. So you have another bad habit, you have an addiction, you have other thing. You can get victory over that by learning to be thankful in all things, and it rewires your brain. It is an actual medical thing called neuroplasticity. It's almost if God knew what he was doing when he was telling us to be thankful. You want victory in your life, be thankful. You say, I don't see how they relate. You don't have to see. God knows you and knows how your brain's wired. He created the thing. And so when he's telling you to be thankful, he's not doing it just to change your attitude so you fake a smile. He wants to transform your brain. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I always thought that was a figurative expression. Does God mean what he says? Yes. He wants to renew your mind. A fancy term called neuroplasticity. Well, that's only one point. I've got like 3 pages to go. There's actually benefits for being thankful. Notice it activates the prefrontal cortex and setting the mind on truth. Now, inside of the prefrontal cortex, that's where you make your decision making. This is also where you regulate emotions and social connections. When you start being thankful, it actually activates and exercises up here. Now, we all know people who say, I can't control my emotions. Start to be thankful. I don't see how this is going to work. Well, what happens is that you start to be able to control your emotions and regulate them so they're not controlling you. When you learn to be thankful in all things, not just when you're having your fit, but you start being thankful, you start finding you can control your emotions. You can start making effective decisions because you're activating the prefrontal lobe of the cortex. This is a big deal. This is science. It's almost like God knew what he was doing when he said, I want to rewire your brain. This is why the Bible says in Philippians 4:8 that we are to think on the things that are true, lovely, good report, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is, think on these things. That's a command of God. It actually rewires your brain and helps you to be able to respond to circumstances in the correct way by being thankful. It changes the way you think. Let's go on. When you start to be thankful, one of the effects is it reduces worry and finding peace in God's provision. One of the things it does is lower something called cortisol. Cortisol is a biochemical that's released in our body when we go through stress, when we go through stressful high alert situations. Adrenaline is something that's released for a small dose of strength, energy surge. Cortisol is something that stays with you to help you to be hyper vigilant, hyper alert. It is actually a poison that your body produces. It takes 72 hours for cortisol to leave your system. So let's imagine that you almost get into a car accident. I meant not just, you know, a near miss. I meant that you were there. Because of that, you have the adrenaline, the first initial thing, and the adrenaline goes away. But the cortisol will stay with you. And you'll see that with, you know, shakes and kind of looking around and, you know, just hypervigilant. That's a normal thing. It takes 72 hours without any other alertness or anything else just to leave your system. Well, remember, I work with officers. Officers are in a high-risk situation all of their life. They say that for most people, they will only experience 3 traumatic events in their life. The average person. Now, your traumatic and real traumatic may be something different. You stub your toe, that may be your trauma, but that's not real trauma. 3 traumatic events. The average officer experiences 18 a week. So what that means is that cortisol, the poison, is dumping into their system all the time. And it takes 72 hours to get it out of their system. They don't get 72 hours away from trauma and stress. So it builds up and poisons. By the way, there are some people who live in high stress situations. And so that cortisol never gets cleared. It stays in them and it poisons them. Cortisol actually changes the way that you think. It causes depression. It rewires your brain the wrong way. It's a biochemical that rewires your brain. Cortisol is not, it's good for its purpose, but it's not meant for us to live in that heightened sense of stress and tension. Well, you're like, what do I do if I quit from my job and hide from everyone? Well, the Bible has a more simple solution. Be thankful. Be thankful. That constant gratitude actually reduces the cortisol within your system. It changes and erases that, that biochemical, which is our primary stress hormone, easing anxiety and bringing calm. So even people in a high-stress situation, they can still have a calmness if they've developed the habit of being thankful. Because it actually gets rid of that cortisol, which causes that stress, that alertness, that whatever else, which allows us to be more at peace because we're biochemically at peace. Sometimes we forget that there's chemicals in our body that actually affect us. Why can't I be peace and calm down? Because you got stuff in your system that your body's thing and you're not getting rid of it. How do I get rid of it? How do I handle it? By being thankful. In addition, being thankful boosts dopamine and serotonin. Once again, normal hormones that we have in our body. Dopamine is a natural happy drug that our body puts in our. Serotonin is something especially ladies have to have. It's mainly a female hormone, but it gives a peace and a calmness. And when ladies don't have that serotonin, they're a little bit more. Rah! But do you know that being thankful produces those 2 chemicals within the body and helps you to have joy, real biochemical joy. See, you understand, we're not talking about manufactured thing. When you are grateful, it actually has a physical effect on your body. Not only your brain, but the biochemical that you system that you have in there with the hormones and all of those things, it actually produces chemicals that help you when you're thankful. It is almost like we have a creator who created our bodies and knows how it works. We're still catching up to the science of it, but God knew this the whole time. God did not have to read a scientific journal and say, oh man, that's pretty good. God knew what he was doing when he said, be thankful. In addition, growing in faith and spiritual resilience by recognizing God's provision. Now, resilience is something very important to me. I'm writing a book on resilience. Resilience has a literal idea of bouncing back. So you remember those old Glad plastic trash cans, you know, and you kick them, and what happens? They bounce back. You know, that was one of the things they were advertising, right? They bounce back. Resilience is important because when we go through a trauma, some people don't bounce back. Some people, when they get that dent in the can, it stays dented. And they carry that dent with them. If we have built up proper resilience, when we go through a trauma, that trauma doesn't have to define our life. That trauma doesn't have to define who we are. That trauma doesn't have to stay with us. We could go through a trauma and immediately bounce back to where we're supposed to be at. Now, resilience doesn't come before or during or after a trauma. Resilience is something you put in before a trauma. And learning to be thankful for God's provision allow you to build up resilience during those situations. Having faith in God, being thankful for Him. All of us, because we don't have millionaires in here, have all got the bill where we just got devastated. We saw, got the bill in the mail, and we just lost it. How am I going to survive? Cry, get to a corner, weep, you know. And that's the guys. Getting that bill in the mail could be a trauma. But you know, we don't have to live there. We could bounce back immediately. By being thankful, look, God's provided for me before. God's taken care of me. And I could expect that He's going to continue to provide for me. I don't have to let this be my defining feature, nor do I have to let it ruin my day. By being thankful ahead of time and seeing God's provision, it allows us to go back. No wonder the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called to according His purpose. All things. Even that bill that you wasn't expecting. Even that water heater that blew up. Even that whatever that didn't work. It doesn't have to devastate our day. Now, if we be honest, most of us have had our whole day, week, month, year ruined because something broke. It doesn't have to. That we could be at the place of trusting God and be thankful and be able to bounce back. By the way, that is what attracts people. Why was people getting added to the church all the time? Because they were watching Christians who did not have a better life, just a different life. And they responded properly and they said, there's something to this. There's something real. We should be able to bounce back when we hear bad news and be able to say, God is good, God is right. And they're like, did you read that thing right? That's a negative there. You owe. That's, you're not getting that back. Oh, I know, God's still good, God's still right. What's wrong with you? What's going on? I want that because that's not how I respond. By learning how to be thankful, it changes it. Forgiveness and compassion are an extension of God's mercy. When we start to be thankful for people, what happens is the Bible talks about in the book of Colossians, we put on love. If we learn how to be thankful, we don't have a bitterness towards people when they do something against us, whether it was purposeful or accident. There's many people that if something happened right now to them, they'd have a grudge for a while. Stupid. We should be able to forgive people instantly. But that doesn't come instantly. It comes from us developing the habit of being grateful and allows us to bounce back and not get stuck because someone did something foolish or to us on purpose, real or imagined, whatever else. It starts to get rid of some of that paranoia, by the way. Being thankful. What else? It strengthens relationships through Christ-like love. There becomes a unity in thanksgiving. Gratitude enhances relationships. You know that you get along better with people that you're thankful for?
Amen.
It'd probably do good for husbands and wives to actually say, you know what, I'm thankful for you. And not just because pastor told me to tell you that. I love my wife more if I'm thankful for her. Love overcomes a lot of sins. So if I love her, I don't see a lot of the sins that she has. Now, of course, she's a lot better than me. I've got all the sins and issues. Hopefully she's thankful with me and doesn't want to throw me out. I do that with my children too. I'm thankful for it. No. But you could put up with them. You say, well, I don't know how I'm ever going to get along with that person. Start being thankful for them. It strengthens relationships, changes how we think. It allows us to bounce back. It allows us to have a Christ-like love, to love the unlovely if we could find something we're thankful for. It encourages selfless service in response to God's love. Remember that the first century church, they got rid of their stuff to help someone else. How do you do that? By being thankful. You stop holding on to your stuff so tightly because you love someone. I want to help them. They see I have a real need. No, they're not just trying to get money. They have a real need. I want to help them out. That comes when you've already developed thankfulness. That it's no big deal. If I could be a blessing, you don't think about yourself now. I'm thinking about them. You start to develop a selfless service and a selfless love. You know what? I could do that for them. Maybe it's not giving. Maybe it's actually service. You know what? I could do that. Wonderful. Can I serve you? Can I do this small thing for you? It's not a big deal at all. And I mean that because I'm thankful. It changes the way we serve. We're more willing to serve because of that. In addition, experience physical and emotional health by being anchored in God's peace. One of the first things that happen when you start being thankful is you rest better. It is amazing how many people suffer through insomnia, who suffer through not being able to sleep because of worry, because of fret, because of hurts, because of bitterness, because of all these other things, maybe even something of biochemical like cortisol still in your system and you can't sleep because you're... How do I get to sleep? God provides sleep when I'm able to have his peace by being thankful. Some of you right there may say, you know what? Forget all of this. That's what I want. I want sleep. How can I say that so boldly? Because so many people have a hard time with sleep. Do you know that adults, I don't care about teenagers, adults need 8 hours of sleep. How many of you got 8 hours of sleep last night? I said, teenagers don't count. You stayed home from school, punk. All right? How many of you had a couple 8 hours of sleep within the last week? Miss Vicky's retired, I hope you know. You know, most people don't get sleep. Being thankful can help you get quality sleep too. That's a big deal. I slept, but I didn't rest. Being thankful can give you the peace of God and actually help you to rest. We know that when you dream, what happens is that your body starts processing, your brain starts processing all the things that have gone on. And if you are not thankful, those things are still bothering you and they keep you from resting while you're sleeping. If you have learned to be thankful, those things are already pre-processed and not a big deal. So you could sleep restful without trying to sort out those feelings and emotions and those hurts that have occurred and have stacked up. The peace of God. It's almost as if God knew what he was doing when he created our bodies and then gave us the command to be thankful. He didn't give us this command because he's trying to give us good verses to memorize. He's not trying to give us something where it's going to be nice and cute. Let's give us a mantra. Let's be thankful. It actually affects your entire body and your rest and your day-to-day of who you are. In addition, contentment brings health and peace. The Bible talks so much about contentment, about being a sound heart. Remember, the word sound in the Bible is healthy. That when you have a sound, healthy heart, a spirit, it helps you. It helps your health. Remember what I said about cortisol? Cortisol is a poison that destroys you. It makes you age. I'm always amazed when I'm checking someone's ID with the police. I'm like, holy cow, you're 10 years younger than me, but you look 20 years older. Wow. There's a lot of people. I know a lot of people think that I'm looking younger. You know, I'm going to get 50 soon. Oh, you're supposed to. But I know I don't look like that. My wife still gets told that she's 20. She was told the other day, what are you doing? My daughter's coming home from college. What? How old's your kid? 20. No way. And it was a genuine shock, not the, you know, thing that you do when you're trying to. And part of it is just learning a life of being grateful. It actually doesn't age you. Stress ages you. Cortisol ages you. Worry ages you. All of those things age people. It makes your body fall apart. You want to live longer? Start being grateful. And then living a life of worship and purpose rooted in God's will. First of all, it aligns with God's purpose. Once again, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, if we're not being thankful for all things, we're not in God's will. If we're in God's will, it's going to go better for us. Lining up with what God. And in addition, being thankful is the very basis of reverence and worship. Why do we worship God? We serve Him acceptably with God reverence and godly fear. True gratitude brings us to the place where we're thankful for all that God has done for us. And that's what worship is. Worship is saying what God is worth to us. Lord, you've done so much for me. You've taken care of me. It allows us to have that basis of worshiping Him. So, we covered the science and we covered the Bible. Now, we could end it here, but it won't do you any good. Let's be practical. What do we do? Well, we gave you here at the beginning of the service a journal. And I want you to keep this journal as your gratitude journal. We're not just borrowing liberal terms. Gratitude is a good word. But how do we keep one? How do we properly keep one? Now, we've been prepping you guys up for the last couple weeks to try to help you out. How do we keep a meaningful gratitude journal? All right, first of all, commit to write 5 specific entries each night. 5 specific entries each night. Set a few quiet minutes before sleep every night to reflect on the last 24 hours. And then write down 5 specific requests that you're thankful for. This regular reflection on God's provision reminds us of His goodness in both big ways and small ways. So first of all, commit to write down 5 specific things each night. Now, if you know that you have an assignment of writing 5 specific things, the second thing, look for God's blessings throughout the day. You know, as a side effect, if I know that I need to write down 5 things, I'm going to look for things that I could write down. I didn't have anything I'm grateful for. It's because you weren't looking. You start getting in the habit of it. You start looking around and finding blessings all over the place. Even if you're having a horrible day, you know what? Zeb opened the door for me. I found something. You start looking and you'll find things to be grateful for. Third thing, avoid generic statements. Be specific. Instead of having entries like, I'm thankful for my family, try noting something unique, that I'm thankful for the joy of a phone call with my daughter. My daughter called me. I had got to talk to her on the phone. Be specific. not general. The more specific you are, the more that it's going to be a help to you. The more it's going to change your thinking. Again, it's your journal, but I'm telling you to get the most out of it, be specific. Look for specific things. Fourth thing, make this a part of your sleep ritual. Everyone should have a ritual that you do before going to bed. Whether it's I go brush my teeth and then I read a book or I pray or I do something. You should all have a ritual that you do before going to bed. Remember what I said about habits? You start training your brain when you start doing those habits to start saying you're getting ready for sleep. If you don't have them, then your body says, I don't know whether I'm supposed to sleep or not. You need to have habits. Make this as one of your rituals. Now, don't wait until you're ready to go to bed and you're too tired to write. You should do this in your preparation to go to bed. Take your journal on purpose and write down those five things that you're looking for. Write down those things. It quiets your heart and prepares you for reflection and to have the peace. Listen, I'd rather go to bed thankful than go to bed upset at someone. This helps that process. Then end with a brief prayer. It doesn't have to be long, but after you write those five things down, thank the Lord for those things. Go to the Lord and say, thank you for letting me have this. Thank you for allowing me to see these things that I may not have seen before. And then, as another benefit, go back to your journal entries every now and again and look at them. Just reflect on all the goodness that God has done for you. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Count your blessings. You know, that's such a basic thing. And then you go back and say, you know what? God has been good to me. Here's proof of it. Here's evidence of it. Because sometimes we get in those flesh days where we say, God hasn't been good to me and nothing's going well. Now you have evidence. You could go back and say, look, he has been good to me. Now, your prayer journals or your gratitude journals, do whatever you want. As your pastor, I'm trying to give you specific instructions because I know some of you are battling with things. Some of you are battling with addictions. Some of you are battling with health. Some are battling with sleep. Some are battling with bitterness. Some are battling with traumas that you have that you can't get over. Whatever it is, some of you are having problems with thoughts. Some of you are have habits that just, they're not evil, gross habits, but you're trying to break the habit. This will help. Some of you are working on relationships. This will help. Some of you are having a hard time thinking about God outside of church. This will help. Because we have a God who created us. We have a God of science. I was just talking with someone the other day. They're like, you wanted to be a scientist, right? Yeah. And now you're a preacher. Aren't they like opposite ends of the spectrum? No. I have a God who's smart. I have a God of science, a God who knows us and created us and gave us simple instructions. God didn't have to say in the Bible, listen, I want you to be thankful because there's something called cortisol that you need to get. He didn't need to say that because we don't need to know why. We obey and get understanding later. I'm thankful that we do have understanding of science now. Could it be that there's other things we haven't discovered yet? That God said, do this anyways. I know what I'm talking about. The Bible is very clear that in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The first century church was a thankful people. And because they were a thankful people, it had many benefits in the church, in their worship, in their interactions with each other, and even outside in the community, so that way the church was added daily. If we just obey God's will concerning us, which is to be thankful, and not just put it in a mantra, not put it in a coffee cup, but actually practice it, we will be healthier inside and out. We will be healthier emotionally and spiritually. We will be healthier in our relationships with others. Because God knows what he's talking about. Let's determine that we are going to be thankful. Now, I'm going to do imitation a little bit different. I would hope that there were some things that you can go and talk to the Lord about. But what I want to do is I want you to commit. I want you to take your prayer journal. If you don't want to come up here, you don't have to. But I want you to take your prayer journal and I want you to, gratitude journal. And I want you to dedicate yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to honestly work this. Help me not just to say, well, that was nice, throw it in my closet and find it in the car a couple weeks later. This will only help you if you do it. You have to make a decision that I'm going to do it. There's some of you that may say, oh man, pastor's going crazy liberal on us. He's whatever else. I don't need this fancy emotional type stuff. You may do that. But I'm telling you, God knew what he was talking about. Ignore me. God said this. And God created us. And I want you healthy. I want you healthy physically. I want you healthy spiritually. I want you healthy mentally. I would like for you to commit, to be specific, but to keep this. Put it to the test. And see if God's not right. See if science isn't right. See if it doesn't work. Do it. But some of you may not. If you don't, that's your own choice. I'm not going to be mad at you. It's your own choice, your own life. You do whatever you want. But as your pastor, I know some of you are struggling, and I'm telling you, this will help it. This may even fix things. Who of you would be willing to commit yourselves to working this and let God do a work? If you don't mind, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, I'm just asking that you would strengthen the folks in here. Thank you for these good folks here. Thank you for what you've been doing in the church. Thank you for how you've been getting victories in people's lives. And Lord, now they have a big decision, a practical decision, something real and tangible they could have in their hands, something that can help them in a legitimate way. Lord, I'm asking that you would give them courage and give them bravery to respond to you and let you be God, that they would commit themselves to working this, not because pastor's begging them, but because they see this as God's will in their life. This is a way to help them to be grateful in their lives. Lord, I'm just asking that you would just give us grace and mercy now. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.